and welcome to The Laydown, a Gibson's Bookstore podcast. I'm Ryan. My pronouns are she, her.
I'm Ashley, also she, her.
And I'm Kate, also she, her.
Hey,
yay!
Guys! It's June!
Woo!
For a couple more days.
Yep. It's been June.
It's been June. Listen, have we ever recorded this podcast on time? Never. It's fine.
This is time. It's June time.
This is time. Yep. It's the time.
We are still in the window.
It's happening. And
in the window like a cooling pie. Wafting scents.
Not this week.
To passers-by.
Any pie in a window this week is just cooking more.
Yeah, just melting, dribbling everywhere.
We're gonna have ants.
Yeah.
That's how you get ants.
This is how you get ants, Lana.
So this week we're talking about ants. How to keep them out of your books or in your books, if that's what you really want.
If that's your thing.
I'm not here to judge.
Listen,
I'm here to help.
I got Cordy an ant farm from here, and instead of having me send away for ants, she went around the yard and captured ants.
It's still a little colonizer you're raising.
Over there. I will say, none of them survived.
They just weren't tough enough.
So that was, I was like, oh, she was, it was one of those moments where I was like, what type of human are you growing up to be? Because I was like, you know, if you get them from different, like, families, basically, different groups, like, they might fight each other. And she's like, that's okay. I was like, oh boy.
That's preferable.
Good.
All right.
Ant battle royale.
It was. So it's Pride still.
Wah, 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 wah. Pew, pew. Firework. Unicorn.
Yes. Exactly. We're all still farting rainbows. So we are going to talk about gay books.
Woo.
Etc. But first, you know, we'll do the usual, what we've been reading recently, what we are currently reading, and then we'll get into the good stuff.
The gay stuff.
Conveniently, my Venn diagram of those two things is just one circle.
Yeah.
Heck, yeah.
One purple circle.
you can go third, and you can be the transition into...
If I must.
That's, yep. Yeah.
We have faith in you.
I do have faith in you.
Fools.
I saved the queer books that I have read recently for the main thing, so I only have a few books to talk about. I am currently reading Acquired Taste by Clay McLeod Chapman, which is his upcoming collection of short horror stories. It's got a real weird-looking axolotl on the cover, being held by a real gross-looking hand.
Obviously.
How does it taste?
I haven't gotten to that one yet, so I'll let you know. I did just read one about baby carrots.
Don't ruin baby carrots.
I'm not going to tell you what it was about.
Do they grow up into adult carrots?
I'm not going to ruin it.
Oh, no.
One of my dog's favorite treats is baby carrots.
Yeah.
It's my husband's favorite treat.
It's one of my favorite treats. Thanks, Clay. I'm so excited for this collection. It comes out, I believe, September 9th. Comes out in September. And this has some of my favorite of his short stories that I've heard him do at readings and stuff. And now they're finally, like, in a collection altogether. And I'm real hyped about it. They're all real gross. He loves to dip in really quick and be horrifying and then dip back out. So far each story I've read has been more horrifying than the last, which is impressive considering the first story in the collection, which is called The Fireplace, is about a new dad who starts thinking about tossing his baby in the fireplace.
Mm.
I mean, who hasn't thought about
throwing
a baby in a fire? Let's see what happens.
How you keep the old gods happy.
So yeah, so that's been fun. I've been reading that. And then recently I've read some real good ones. Well, to start, I finally read Onyx Storm, which is the third in the Fourth Wing series, and I'm happy to report it's better than the second one.
Hey!
It was more on track with the first as far as, like, the pacing and the balance of, like, action to romance and, like, plot moving forward and stakes being raised and, like, character development. I was like, hey, we're doing great here. This is... Ooh, dragons. So I did just read that. But then, okay, so you remember the last time we talked, I was talking about that book, Strange Pictures, by Uketsu. Yes. And I was like, it's so crazy because I went out and bought this and then I got home and realized I had the arc, but it had a different color cover. So I didn't realize, like, I didn't recognize it.
Different book.
Different book. This is the next one.
That'll do it.
It was the next one. It was Strange Houses.
Oh, they get you.
So I just read Strange Houses. And it was amazing. So this one differs from Strange Pictures in that instead of a series of little vignettes that you start to realize are connected, this one is one cohesive story that... It's like one big mystery that features a bunch of different houses that all have these really weird things in their layouts, like weird pockets where, like, there's just, like, a blocked off hallway, maybe? Like, it's like that wall ends here, but then the next wall doesn't start till there, and, like, what is this? Is it a secret passageway? Like, what is that? So there's all these, like, series of strange houses, and the... main characters start to put it together. They think possibly these are related to a serial killer. Like, he might be building these weird, like, murder houses.
Ooh.
Love a good murder house.
H.H. Yeah. Homing it up.
Yeah, yeah. It's super good. Just as, like, unsettling as Strange Pictures was, and the writing is incredible, and I read it in, I think, a day. Like, they're... It's, these books are short and compelling. And then I read Killer on the Road / The Babysitter Lives by Stephen Graham Jones. This is a 2-in-1 book, so depending on which way you flip the book, you either read Killer on the Road first or you read The Babysitter Lives first. And I am so... excited for this book to finally come out. It comes out on July 15th. And I listened to The Babysitter Lives a million years ago on Libro FM as it was only available as an audiobook. And it's my favorite of his short stories. And so it happens on Halloween, the night before Halloween, so like Halloween Eve. And this babysitter, she's watching a sister and a brother. And they're like 6 and 8, maybe. And they show her this cool trick that happens in their house where they go into one spot and then the house spits them out in a different spot. So cool.
Totally normal.
Totally normal. And then, but you have to go back the way you came, otherwise you get stuck. And the babysitter obviously follows all the rules because she's a rational human being. No, just kidding. She absolutely does not. And she gets stuck and then crazy things happen. And chaos ensues and it's so scary and you basically can't trust anyone or anything. And you definitely don't want to get tangled up with the gray mommy that the kids refer to. Who's the one who makes the rules and creates these special places? Oh my god, this book. It was even more terrifying this time reading it. I was like, I had forgotten so many details, and I was just like, I finished it, and I was just like emotionally drained. I was like, oh my god, this book. So that story is super good, and then the other one is Killer on the Road, which is a hitchhiking tale with a twist. And so it's a Stephen Graham Jones version of that old you know, urban legend of, you know, you are hitchhiking and you get picked up and you think that, oh, the hitchhiker is going to be the murderer, and then it turns out that the person who picked you up is the murderer, right? Mm. Like, it's like Stephen Graham Jones' version of that. But it's, like, so fast-paced and so tense, and it's all happening with, like, these, like, truckers and this girl and her friends, and they're basically on the run through a series of unfortunate events, are fleeing from a serial killer who can literally change his face.
Oh, no.
It's so intense, and, like, it all happens in a really short amount of time. It's, like, maybe 24, 36 hours. Like, it's a really tight time frame, and a lot of bad things happen in that really short amount of time. Like, he, again, with these short stories, like, Stephen Graham Jones, so good at, like, a crazy amount of carnage in a very short amount of time. So, yeah, that will be out July 15th, and I highly recommend it for anybody who wants some really, really good readable horror, but in a short chunk. And then there's some minor gay, so I'm going to pause there.
All right.
Kate.
So the last time I was here, I think I was talking about starting the new Helen Oyeyemi.
Yes.
I have finished it. It's coming out on August 26th, so you can pre-order it now. Woo-hoo. And it is even more bananas than I thought. And I had a great time. It's 7 days of diary entries where each day is a woman who is differently responsible for a day of the week within this one woman. And that man that was tied up in the closet is definitely involved in more than one of these situations. There's a guy who makes bespoke perfume. There's this whole situation where we think someone is very pious and going to church, but they're actually taking old Czech ladies to a strip club. It's definitely the funniest of her books, and I had a great time.
Oh my god, that sounds amazing.
Oh, it is. I can't wait. The next book that I read is also something that is coming out later. It's not coming out until October, but I got an early copy of Lily King's Heart the Lover, and it is astonishing. Normally, I get really annoyed with novelists writing about being novelists, but not Lily King. She can do anything. I don't want to tell you anything about it because it's just too perfect, but it starts with something along the lines of, you know, you always knew I'd eventually write a book about you. Whoa! It's fantastic. It's so good. I can't wait for it to come out and for everybody to read it.
Oh, amazing.
I just came back from Chicago, and while flying to and from, I made the questionable choice of listening to Katie Folk's Sky Daddy, and Sky Daddy rules. It is a genuinely earnest, odd character story about a woman who is romantically and sexually attracted to planes, but there's no, hey, look at this weirdo, and no, oh, we're all gonna learn a lesson. It is exactly what it says on the tin, and the ending is so completely bizarre. I can't believe I listened to it on a plane.
Yeah.
If you're afraid of planes, maybe don't. But if you are into planes, or wink, wink, into planes, go for it. It was wonderful. The other day, I filled up my beach wagon with books that were hanging around the house, like, truly full of it, and I wandered around town filling up all the little libraries because I had too many books in my house.
I love that.
But I came home with more. Only two, though, but one of them I also read on the airplane, John Fowle's The Collector, a classic in totally messed up kidnapping literature.
Ooh.
So if you want to read about a man who is awful and does not think he is, that's the book for you. I enjoyed it. It's creepy.
And nice.
I mean, exactly what you'd expect from this guy. And then right now, I am currently reading The Hotel Avocado, which is the sequel to Bob Mortimer's Clementine Complex. Bob Mortimer, fantastic British comedian, all-around weirdo storytelling man. Richard Osman gets a lot of attention for his very fun, kind of cozy, murdery books, but you should pay attention to Bob Mortimer, too. A down-on-his-luck lawyer who scripts conversations between himself and the squirrels in his neighborhood. He lives next door to a retired hacker with a dog that hates him. Last time he got totally involved in this whole whodunit involving a USB dongle that looked like a corn cob. And this time they're in the process of reopening and running the titular Hotel Avocado.
Wow.
So if you want to just delve into silliness for the summer, pick up both of those Bob Mortimer books. You will not be disappointed. And if you know Bob Mortimer already, you will read this in his voice. It's impossible not to. It's fantastic.
I love that.
So that's what I'm reading at the moment.
Amazing.
How about you, Ashley?
Okay, I lied a little bit about my Venn diagram. There's a very small circle of non-gay things that I've read.
Get out of here!
One of which I loved, I think it was my, like, only second five-star book of the year so far, The Society of Unknowable Objects, Gareth Brown. It comes out sometime. I forget when, and I'm bad at doing my homework. but I saw an arc of it come in a little bit ago and got real excited because his first book, The Book of Doors, was one of my favorites last year. Mm-hmm. They are standalone, but there is a little, I'm going to call it an Easter egg. It's not that, but it's like that towards the very, very end of the upcoming one that if you've read Book of Doors, you will get a little extra boost of enjoyment.
Aw.
A midsummer egg.
Yeah. basically, it's this group of people thrown together for reasons, and there are magical objects strewn about the world, which, if they fall into the wrong hands, is going to be real bad. Mm. They find out about this, and they are on a mission to try to get the things before the other thing can't get the things and cause chaos.
Everybody's always stopping me from getting the magic thing. Let me have a go.
Sorry, Kate.
I promise.
You just
it'll
can't
be
trusted.
Fine.
It'll be okay.
So that one's good. Whenever it does come out later this year, you should definitely get it. Another one I read was Three Wild Dogs, parentheses, and the Truth, which is Marcus Zusak's memoir of the book thief fame, which I love. He's written a bunch of books that are all delightful. This one is very relatable if, like me and you, Ryan, a little less so you, Kate, I just have dogs who are real jerks. Because sometimes no matter how much you love them and how much work you put into trying to make them be good dogs, they're still kind of shitheads.
Yeah.
Yep. He has also experienced this 3 times in a row.
Oh my god. I think I would give up.
You wouldn't.
Yeah.
Because I'm also on number 3. Yeah. Broken dog. There's no stopping.
It is what it is.
They're still perfect.
Yeah.
Even
there are perfect angel
awful.
Babies.
It's correct.
My dog is perfect.
Yeah.
What's
Ron
up, Ron?
Must be
love
nice.
You.
Ron is perfect.
We all love you, Ron.
We love you, Ron.
Ron's on vacation with his daycare family right now.
Oh my god.
Boy.
Living it up.
Love him.
And then one other that I squeaked in just before June started and I had to switch gears to all my best gay books was finally read Malice Aforethought.
Oh, yeah!
Gary Kelly Clark, when that book came out last year? Or, like, late the year before, I can't remember. She's so stinking cute. Was here, like, every weekend, dropping off more copies because we kept selling out. She'd sign them all, and she's amazing. The story is wild. She wrote it as a novel, but it is basically just so that she could throw in some dialogue. Everything else is fact as far as we know. Wow. And then just some imagined scenes where people are speaking about the terrible things that happened one town over in Pembroke 100-ish years ago, where someone was killing girls because he liked to, and doing bad things, and he was no good.
No good.
No good. But the story's very good.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
She's adorable.
She's so cute. I love
her. Hi, Avery.
Hi, Avery.
And then June started.
Woo!
Got to dive into the pile of gay books I had been saving for myself.
Amazing.
Swimming in them like Scrooge McDuck.
That's more fun. My favorite customer, who I imagine swimming in books like Scrooge McDuck, and recently told her so, and she probably thinks I'm weird, but also was game to play along, and
I love
her even more for it. So my first one was Conundrum, which was a real quick memoir of by Jan Morris, who was born James Morris. The book is old, from like 70s, 80s. And Jan admits that she was a child of British imperialism.
Whoops.
So there's a lot that doesn't age well. But it's her transition journey from James to Jan. While being James was in the British Army for a while, but like knew from being a child that like James isn't it. This is not me. And eventually got the ability to make that transition. And I was telling you, Ryan, the other day, that had one of my favorite quotes, which I meant to look up and write down so I could get it right, but I didn't. Because, again, bad at homework, but we were talking about moths the other day, and it reminded me that towards the end of this book, she wrote something along the lines of, it was, like, the final step in, like, transitioning to being a woman, and it was, like, I knew that I would come out of this chrysalis a beautiful butterfly, and if not, at least a presentable moth. This is the best line in the whole book, and maybe the best line in, like, the last five books that I've read.
It's such a good line.
Beautiful.
So cute. So that one's good as a quick read. And then I moved into Bury Our Bones in the Midnight Soil, which,
yes,
is not quite Victorian Psycho level staff favorite, but
it's making the rounds.
It's making the rounds, and a lot of us are very into it with very good reason. Hot lesbian vampires.
Yeah.
I just want to be a vampire now.
Yeah.
Yeah. B. Schwab, you did a real bad job at making being a vampire sound bad.
Yeah.
Like, I know you tried. And there are definitely parts of it that don't sound great, but, I mean, there are parts of being a human that aren't great, so, like,
that's a
trade I'm willing to make.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like I could figure it out.
Six of these, half dozen of those.
Yeah.
So that one is great and covers a bunch of different timelines and three different women's stories, and it's wonderful if you are an ADHD reader who needs to jump back and forth between things instead of just having one linear storyline. 10 out of 10, no notes. And then Forest Euphoria, The Abounding Queerness of Nature. It's called a collection of essays about nature, which is not incorrect, but it's also a memoir. Like, it
Got
could
it,
definitely
yeah.
be in the bio section. The author, Patricia Ononiu-Kaishian? Not sure how to say that, obviously. is a queer mycologist and just loves studying things out in the woods. There's some hilarious scenes in the book where she was on shrooms and just hanging out with the shrooms in the woods. And she was very meta and very cute.
I love that.
And, yeah, it's just nature's super gay. Mm. And it, like, makes you think that maybe we're just all supposed to be a little bit gayer. Mm-hmm. And you should stop fighting that, because it's just the way the world is.
Yeah.
Yep. And then the one I'm currently reading, just about done with, is The Lilac People, Milo Todd, which my mom told me to get, because she also wants to read, but she's like, I know it's June, so you can read it first.
Thanks, Mom.
It's really, really good. I was really, really sad.
Oh, no.
Some transvestite friends and their ally friends in Germany in the 40s. And
oh, boy.
All of the real sad, bad, awful, terrible things that they had to go through. It, very similar to The Night Watch, which I raved about last time, it's historical fiction. It is very historically accurate, to the point where, like, there are characters who were real people.
Wow.
But it is a very fictionalized story of what they all had to collectively endure. Mm. I did get to a part last night where I was like, it's not so sad after all, because there's a character that you think might be one of the bad guys, and then maybe she's not one of the bad guys now. And so, like, things might be turning around a little bit, which gives me hope for going home tonight and finishing it and, like, maybe not sobbing on the couch.
Yeah, fair.
Stay tuned for the next episode.
Yes, I will report back. Okay, so I guess I'll just keep going then.
Yeah!
Into the bigger circle of my Venn diagram. My paper is not as chaotic as last time. There are no arrows, but I don't even know if I can read most of this.
It's very tidy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, from back here, okay. It's very tidy.
It's pure vibes. Just the books I could remember reading and loving over the last 5 years or so. We'll see if I remember any of the plots.
Yeah, no worries.
A couple of them are pretty recent, so they're still fresh. There's also a handful that I've talked about before, but one was Our Infinite Fates, Laura Stephen, which I talked about last time. It's part of my YA rant about how I don't actually hate them even. Anyway, you may remember that it is the premise is these two characters keep being reincarnated for reasons, but in each iteration of their life they find and kill each other. What makes it gay is that they are reincarnated in different ways. Like, sometimes one's the girl, and the other one's the boy. Sometimes they're both girls, sometimes they're both boys. Like, it's just, they're all over the place. And they still just love each other so much that they have to murder.
Oh.
Makes sense.
Yeah, as you do.
Teenager.
Three Lives of Kate K.
Me?
Not McKay. Just K. And also, Kate is spelled not the right way. But whatever.
That happens. Used to it. Looking at you, Stephen King.
It's funny because the author's name is also Kate. It's Kate Fagan. And she didn't even spell Kate the way she spells her own name. So there's...
She was like, this is not about me.
Correct.
It's just a good name.
It's just a good name. I remember talking about this one with Kat when it came out. She had read it a little bit before I picked it up and had some feelings and thoughts about it and was interested to see if I shared them. And I did. The book is so, so good. And then it just sort of ends. And I want more. I want a few more questions answered. I like when things are left up to interpretation, but not all the things.
Yeah.
Or at least not the majority of the things. It's still... And it's not left open in such a way that I don't think there's going to be, like, a sequel to it or anything. It was just sort of like, this is... So, it's over now. So I was kind of sad when it was done. Because I was like, I want more. Very good. Moves real quick. Like, really well-paced. And there's some mysterious things that happen. And maybe people... a lot of books about people killing people.
Welcome to my life.
What have you done to me?
No, I didn't kill anybody. I don't know what you're talking about.
There's some death involved in this one, under interesting circumstances. Moving on, another one that when I wrote this on my list, I was like, now I'm just like Kate and Oliver, Becky Chambers in every episode.
Who I didn't bring up this time.
There's
even
still
though.
Time. This is how you lose the time war.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's on my list, too.
Yes. Yep. It's just, it's so good. I don't need to tell you what it's about, because we've already covered that multiple times, but if you still have not read it, go for it. Open Throat. Henry Hoke.
Ooh.
This was Erin's staff
one pick. Of Erin's staff picks. She told me about it right after she'd read it, and she's like, before she even told me about it, she's like, she handed it to me and was like, just read the first page. And I bought it that day.
Incredible.
It is another super short, super fast read, very funny. It's a gay mountain lion.
Just amazing.
Causing chaos, because why wouldn't it?
I love that.
God forbid mountain lions have a hobby.
It is awesome. When I was making my list, I wanted to make sure I hadn't forgotten anything, because I don't order books. I've never read one before in my life when I need to sit down and make a list of them.
Yep.
And so I had found a list online of, like, highly recommended LGBTQ books, and they were, like, by category that was, like, lesbian main character, gay main character, like, blah, blah, blah. And I keep scrolling, and at the end it was like, other? And Open Throat was there. I was like, yep, that tracks.
Other?
Oh, that's great.
Moving on, basically anything Andrew Joseph White writes, but my two favorites are Hell Followed With Us and The Spirit Bears His Teeth. So good. When Natalia worked here, the first summer I was here, she had recommended Hell Followed With Us to me, and I think she just needed someone to talk about it with, because she had read it and was like, what was this? There's a lot going on. Queer teens, zombies, religious cults, there's a lot, but it works. I mean, it doesn't, but it works for storytelling.
Yes, yes.
Lots of chaos.
He's got an adult novel coming. I was trying to find You Weren't Meant to Be Human.
Yes.
Is coming out, I think, later this year.
Which I selfishly stole the arc of a couple weeks ago. And
as you should.
I'm hoping I get to it in the next few days.
Yeah, we'll August 11th. Okay. It comes out. You've got time.
Got plenty of time.
And a special edition paperback of Spirit Bears Its Teeth came out in the last month and a half or so.
Oh, cool.
It's got purple sprayed edges, of course.
Of course.
But we also have a few left with the little enamel pins that go with them. And it's got sweet trans flag with all sorts of curly Q horror adventure. It's a good pin.
Nice.
It's a good book.
It is a good book. Just some mediumship and seancing and spirits.
Love it.
Baring their teeth because they're upset about things.
Absolutely.
What? Everything's fine.
The Very Long, Very Strange Life of Isaac Dahl, also recommended to me by a fellow co-worker. This one was from Shy last year. It's really cool. It's novel, but it's presented as a memoir, there are 12 chapters. Each one is set like 8 or so years apart, and it's just like a big event that happened to our friend Isaac at that point in his life, and how it rippled to the rest of his life into the next event. It starts off with an avalanche, I believe. That was the first event. When he's a child, he and his sister survive. I don't think the rest of the family did. And then their friend also survived. It was, like, in a mining town, and everything got buried, and they made it out. And so, like, they're bonded for life.
Yeah.
To the point where, I mean, it's not, like, an actual love triangle, because it's brother-sister, but, like, brother and sister are both in love with this other friend. And it's just, it's real cute. Some of the things are very sad. Some of them are very fun. It's just, it's a great book.
Nice.
And then a couple of actual memoirs. Better Living Through Birding, Christian Cooper, my guy.
Yeah.
Such a good book. Just, if you like just gay parties around the world and bird watching, and I don't love comic books, but if you love comic books, there's something in there for you too. And it's got like everything, and it's such a fun story, and he writes really well.
That's awesome.
He has a great kids picture book out too about urban birds.
Nice.
And how they live on the tops of skyscrapers and whatnot. Oh, yes. It's super cute and cool and awesome.
I love that. This journey for
I
him.
I love him so much. And then Once Upon a Tome, Oliver Darkshire. I bought it because it was pretty. He's a British antiquarian bookseller.
Ooh.
And so it's about, like, his life in that role.
Mm-hmm.
But I love his author bio. Oliver Darkshire is 28, and his life as a struggling bookseller and writer is exactly what his careers instructor warned him would happen if he didn't pay attention. He lives in Manchester with his husband and a house full of books he actively tried not to collect. Relatable.
That is, yep. Is all of us.
Correct. This memoir is very British and very funny, and I loved it. He had a, I noticed it the other day, like a month ago. That was the other day. Mm-hmm. What is time?
That is time.
A newish book in the sci-fi section that I can't remember the title of, but it sounds ridiculous.
It has a magical pot of basil.
Yes.
Oh, my.
A cat, because obviously.
Incredible. Yes.
Yeah, it looks super cute, and I'm excited to eventually get around to reading that one.
Delightful.
Anything James Baldwin writes.
Yes.
Yep. All A pluses, and pretty much anything Ursula Le Guin wrote. Lots of gender bending, interesting takes on things in her characters, mm-hmm. where they're everything and they're nothing, and they switch when they feel like it. And it honestly sounds kind of great.
Yeah, love that for them.
Yep. And then my honorable mention. The picture of Dorian Gray.
Yes!
It's not technically a gay book, but it's not.
It's not
a gay
book.
And someone a few years back did write, like, a gayer take on it, which I have not read yet. It's on my pile, and I'm sure it's delightful. But the real deal is it's quietly gay enough.
Yes. Yes.
And it's one of my favorites.
I love that book. I should reread that book. It's been, like, since high school, I think.
I, a couple years ago, had reread it for the first time since high school, and, like, I remembered loving it then, too, but, like, I was cackling.
Yeah.
I was like, this is so funny.
Yeah. The whole,
Highly recommend.
Yep.
Good stuff.
So, I also just got back from a trip. I went to StokerCon a week and a half ago.
Screech. Bat sound. Lightning. Thunder.
It was so fun. And it was funny because I went just as a regular attendee, but I also was on a panel and ended up doing an author intro as well, because I am who I am, okay? But it was delightful, and I got to see so many of my horror author friends, and
So I'm going to talk about a couple of their books that I got to finish right before I saw them. The first one is Crafting for Sinners by Jenny Kiefer. I'm
so excited for that.
Love her so much. Jenny, her first book is This Wretched Valley, which is the horror story about rock climbing.
It's so
the
good.
Dyatlov Pass, but with rock climbers. And Jenny owns Butcher Cabin Books down in Louisville with her mom, and she's just the best. I love her so much. And this book is my new favorite of hers. It's a queer woman trapped in a craft store run by a megachurch.
Oh, no.
if you've ever wondered how many different ways you could kill someone with craft supplies, this book is for you. there's so much creative body horror, and then also there's, like, cult vibes and weird, rituals and a really cool main character who just, like, refuses to give up, and it's great. And it comes out October 7th, and everyone needs to read it. I loved it so much. And then the other one that I finished right before StokerCon was We Are Always Tender With Our Dead by Eric LaRocca. I will read anything that Eric LaRocca writes forever and always. This is the first book in the Burnt Sparrow trilogy. It's coming out in September 9th, and I believe the whole trilogy will be out by 2027. He's got plans for releasing. They're like all written, I think. So this book is set in a very strange, eerie town called Burnt Sparrow, New Hampshire. Obviously, this is not a real place. It's more like Josh Malerman's Goblin, Michigan. It's just like a weird little pocket town. And tragedy strikes on Christmas when a family of faceless shooters gun down the Christmas parade.
Oh, no.
And literally, that's the most normal part of this book. What follows is a story of a father and son, each dealing with life and death in their own ways, but really that barely scratches the surface. There are so many unspeakable horrors in this book. It is transgressive, it is gory, it is upsetting, and somehow also it is tender and heartfelt and bittersweet. And I don't know how Eric does it,
but
I will simply continue reading absolutely everything that they write forever. It's insane and beautiful, and I loved it. The entire time I was reading it, I was like, what is happening? What do you mean? No, that's, no, why? Yeah, okay.
Thank you, may I have another?
And then, obviously, I also read Bury Our Bones in the Midnight Soil, which we already talked about, but yeah, hot lesbian vampires. That's, like, if that doesn't sell you, I don't know what will. Come on. Yeah. It's so good. Eat the Ones You Love by Sarah Maria Griffin. Oh my god. It's a horror novel narrated by a sentient plant with a taste for humans. Yes. Yes. Please. Yes. This book is queer. It's got great body horror. It's packed with love and hunger and a manipulative plant named Baby who you just can't help but adore even if he really, really wants to absorb you and all of your memories and your feelings and your thoughts and your organs.
Oh, Baby!
It's... I love Baby
What's
so
mine
much.
Is yours, Baby.
Protect Baby at all costs.
Protect Baby! You gotta feed Baby. Baby's so hungry. Oh. He's just a baby.
Just a little guy.
He's just a baby. And maybe he's massive and slowly taking over this entire town, but he just a baby. It is a twisted love story. It's set in a flower shop in Dublin. It is amazing. It's like
But it, like, kind of goes the way of, like, cozy horror, and then baby's like, hey, and it comes back to regular horror.
Gotcha.
It's like, oh, you're doing a cute found family thing? I'm gonna eat one of them. Like, it's so good.
Baby's got a baby.
Yeah.
Baby's got a baby. I love him. Yeah. Baby has a mission. Baby's gonna get what baby wants.
Okay, it's fine.
I'm assuming nobody puts this baby in any corners or anything
no.
like that.
Baby has the run of the back room of the plant shop.
Yes.
And we love baby. And then this one is not horror. Gasp, what?
What?
But it is amazing. Slayers Every One of Us by Kristen Russo and Jenny Owen Youngs. So this is a book with a lot of backstory. Okay, let me see if I can make it shorter than my staff pick review. So there's a podcast called Buffering the Vampire Slayer. It is a rewatch podcast about Buffy the Vampire Slayer in which two queer women watch and review every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer in order, spoiler-free, and they write a song for every episode that recaps that episode. And it's amazing. And the hosts are Jenny and Kristen, and when you start the podcast, they are a happily married couple. And by season 7, they are still hosting the podcast together, but now they are no longer married.
They happily divorced?
Happily divorced couple. And at this point, have each married a different woman and each now have a baby. Because Kristen gave birth, like, 2 months ago. Yay!
Yay!
Yay, babies that are babies and not plants that are trying to eat you.
Exactly.
What is a baby if not a plant that's trying to eat you?
Truly.
I don't have kids.
I mean, listen, I do. This book is, yes, for Buffy fans. It's obviously for buffering fans, of course. But it's also for literally anyone, because this is a book about queer love and divorce and friendship and found family and community, as well as Buffy and the podcast. It made me cry too many times. and it is incredible. Both the physical book and the audiobook are absolutely stunning. And Jenny Owen Youngs lives in New England, and she very sweetly came to the bookstore and signed all of our copies. So we have some signed copies as of recording this. If you want one, she's great. And the podcast is great. And now they're doing it again. So they did all 7 seasons of Buffy and then did a spinoff podcast called Angel on Top about Angel, and now Jenny and Kristen are back for once more with spoilers. And so this time it's full of spoils, so you can get references to every episode, and you get all the foreshadowing, and also they'll talk about, you know, the canonical Dark Horse comics, and they'll talk about, like, upcoming projects that are happening. Maybe yay, hopefully yay. Yeah, it is so much fun, and I'm so glad they're doing it again. But it's delightful, and the book is so, so good, and is, like, also a really interesting look at, like, parasocial relationships, because they are absolutely the type of people who, like, you listen to their podcast and you're like, I know these women, like, I know them, they are my friends now. And they talk about, like, you know, them going through their divorce and that whole journey, and, like, people coming up to them at live shows and just, like, talking at them as if they were actual friends, and then being like, wow, I don't know what to say in this moment. That's wow. Okay. But yeah, they're both of them are delightful humans. And Kristen Russo has other books. She does a lot of work in the LGBTQ plus spaces, and she she'll actually travel to workplaces and stuff and talk to staff about hey, here's how you should treat your queer coworkers and your queer children, and I'm gonna help you out a little bit. So she's awesome.
Nice.
She is. And Jenny Owen Youngs is a professional musician, and I've seen her in concert a couple times, and she's great. And then just a happy shout out to Lucky Day by Chuck Tingle, which comes out on August 12th and is so delightful. It is, I've talked about it before, but just as a reminder, it's about Vera. She is a bisexual statistics professor who thrives on order and patterns. So then when May 23rd happens, a day that bucks all order and patterns and results in unimaginable and insane carnage and chaos, her life is flipped completely upside down. And 4 years later, she's questioning her own existence and sinking deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the abyss of depression when suddenly a mysterious government agent with golden retriever energy bursts into her home and drags her along on a thrilling investigative journey involving a strange casino, a string of the most unlikely events, and the delicate balance of luck. What happens in Vegas, right?
Yay!
It's so good. Pre-order it. Thank you.
So I'm going to copy Ashley with an Aaron pick and another Aaron shout out.
Yay.
And a YA book.
Yay!
So I've pulled a bunch of books that have queer characters, and then I've also pulled a bunch of just queer authors that I love, so I'll bounce back and forth. But this book, When the World Tips Over by Jandy Nelson, I had not heard of this writer before, and when the book came out last year, Erin flipped her lid for it, and that was enough for me to pick it up and immediately become obsessed. It is an absolutely gorgeous, magical realism, centuries of family drama, but everything is still kind of sunny and warm because it's YA. It's 100 Years of Solitude for kids. It's so beautiful. There are gay ghosts, there's an immortal dog, there's a woman who has a bakery that you can taste the feelings and what she cooks. It's just beautiful, and I loved it so much.
Aww.
So yeah, pick that up. And then we are also talking about some historical fiction. We'll shout out M.T. Anderson's Nicked. Yes. Or should I say Nicked? There's an exclamation point. That was one of my favorite books from last year. And this is going to be, I've talked about this before, my pattern of gay monks and whatnot. But this is based in a very well-researched 13th century heist of a monk who gets sent with a bunch of pirates, essentially, to steal the holy bones of Saint Nicholas, who, whether you're into sainthood or not, Nicholas was a real person. The bones still exist.
Oh my god.
They have gone all over the place with documentation. You can still visit them. Do they actually exude magical healing goo? I don't know, but more than one person gets submerged in body goo in Nicked. It's really well researched and really funny. It's like watching The Mummy with Hilary Mantel. I cannot recommend it enough. And it comes out in paperback on July 22nd. So if that's what you were waiting for, now you have no more excuse.
Yeah!
Speaking of queer monks, The Everlasting by Katie Simpson Smith is one of my favorite books of all time. And I found that at Gibson's when I was still a customer, because Joe did a staff pick of this. So what's up, Joe?
Hi, Joe. We miss you.
But it's this relic that gets passed through three different generations worth of stories, all in the same area of Rome on the Appian Way, all the way back to an early Christian martyr, all the way forward to a current biologist with stops in the middle with a really sweet gay monk who's tending to the city, and his job is to sit down in the crypt with the other decomposing monks. That's just all he does. He goes down there every day and talks to them while they rot in holiness. And I know that sounds gross, but it's really sweet and romantic. And the whole thing is narrated by the devil?
Heck yes!
Who is definitely in love with God?
Alright, sure.
It's a great book. I love it. Let's see. I'm going all over the place here. That was my gay monk. That was my other gay monk. speaking of monks and history and whatnot, there's a collection of stories that came out a couple of years ago called Swordstone Table, Old Legends, New Voices. And it is retellings, untellings, detellings, new tellings of King Arthur mythology and folklore. And it's split into three chunks. There are people who write kind of additional stories within the vein of the traditional stuff. There are people who write modern day tellings, and then there are people who write future stuff. And it's full of queer authors and retellings and situations, and I mean, what is more gay than the Knights of the Round Table to begin with? Come on. Speaking of that, Lev Grossman's The Bright Sword also is a King Arthur retelling, which has queer characters, trans characters, incredibly powerful women characters. I believe there's some ace characters in there. It's just all inclusive and badass, and I love it. Hmm. And it's really, really heavy. So this Pride Month, if you need a riot accessory, I recommend reading that book and carrying it with you, just in case.
Just in case.
Yep. I mean, it's a big old book. You could definitely smush a bug with it. That's all you can do.
Yeah, just a bug.
Yeah, it's a big one. One of my favorite books of the last couple of years is Rebecca Mackay's The Great Believers.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible entwined stories of gay men in Chicago in the 80s and the onset and terror of the AIDS epidemic and the people who survived and are still carrying their stories now. It's incredibly well-researched and just... There's so much nonfiction out and whatnot now about this time, so I feel kind of goofy putting an older fiction book in, but it's a story about what happens to the people who are left behind and how you continue to keep a torch burning for the people who were unfairly taken from us. I mean, we lost generations of queer people. How come there's no older? That's why. So read that book. It's going to break you in half, but put you together again, so it's okay. And then just some shout outs to queer voices overall who are doing great stuff across genre and for kids, for teens, for adults. Nate Stevenson and Molly Knox Ostertag.
Yeah!
Of Nimona and Witch Girl and The Deep Dark are an incredible queer married couple who share their love of all things geeky and lovely with everyone. And you can't go wrong picking up anything that they do. Samantha Irby, queer, disabled, and does not care what you think.
Yep.
You have to listen to her books on audio. Funny. So get on Libro and listen to them. She reads them. Yep. And only she can get away with saying things about herself that you could not waterboard out of me. Love you, Sam. Never stop. Michelle T., just an incredible lesbian voice for the ages. There's a new edition of her book, Valencia, about, like, just 90s lesbians living it up, fighting the world in California, and it's... you feel right at home cracking it open. It's great. Bobby Finger, author, podcaster, journalist, wrote some of the funniest stuff Jezebel ever did. Has two novels out, and his most recent novel, Four Squares, just came out in paperback. Lovely little slice of life of queer men in New York. It's great. And Ashley already shouted him out, but James Baldwin. James Baldwin, James Baldwin, James Baldwin, James Baldwin. The only reason I didn't talk for Becky Chambers about, or, you know, for 20 minutes is because I did that in all of our other episodes. So, yay. The end.
Yay! Happy Pride, everybody.
Happy Pride. Woo! Come see our pride displays.
Come see our pride displays, because obviously we're not even scratching the surface of all of the queer books that we love so and have in the store.
There's a whole section on Be Gay, Do Crime.
Yeah, there's so many good queer books, so come visit us in store. And with that, I will start our wrap-up. Yay! A reminder about our partnership with Libra FM. Yay, Libra FM! Our listeners who are new to Libra FM can receive 2 digital audiobooks for the price of 1 credit by using the code LAYDOWN at checkout when they create a new membership. And guess what? We are planning an audiobook walk.
Yeah!
Oh my god, it's going to be real fun. We don't have a date yet, but stay tuned. We're going to pick a day, and we're all going to meet up at outside of Gibson's, and we're going to go for a little walk around Concord, listening to our audiobooks with our headphones on and not talking to anybody else. And then we're going to end the walk in the cafe. And if you want to talk to people about what you've been listening to, you can. And if you don't want to, you can just come into the bookstore and shop. Yay! Audiobook Woo! Walks! So stay tuned, follow us on social media, and we'll tell you more. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. For a shoppable list of all the books we've discussed during this episode, you can click the link in our show notes or go to gibsonsbookstore.com/laydown-books. Make sure you're following us on your favorite social media platforms. We're on most of them. And all of those links will be in the show notes. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore. Bye!